Okay. Did you guys hear that? So I think we're officially on now.
We're good.
Cool. Well, thank you, John and Pablo, for doing this interview with me today. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to your concert this Wednesday at Cornelia Street Cafe. But I wanted to just talk to you guys about a few different things. Pretty much right off the bat, I guess, just for everybody that's reading or listening or whatever we're doing here, how long have you guys known each other? And I guess give us a little bit of background as to, like, you know, how you guys met, your history, I mean, as friends or colleagues.
So I believe our connection was through a mutual friend. John, was it through, was it through Ben?
I think through Ben, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say. Because how do you, the saxophonist Ben Dobay, and I know Ben because I went to school with him in Wisconsin. And how do you know him, Pablo? I can't remember.
I met Ben Dobay at the Band Center a few years back when we were there together. And I remember.
And at some point, I had met Ben too, so I think that he might be the common ground between all of us. That makes the most sense.
Yeah. And I remember Ben telling me not long after that happened, after I met him that summer, that John, you were going to be moving to town. I think we met officially maybe at the 55 bar at someone's gig.
Oh, yeah. I think I do remember that, actually.
So that's a kind of a vague memory. I'm sorry, I can't be more specific, but I think that's how it happened.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's been a few years, Benji. I'd say we and I've known each other for four years now, something like that.
Cool. And you guys both, I think, moved to town about the same time. When did you guys move to New York?
I moved to New York in early 2009.
Okay.
Yeah, and I moved in kind of later 2009. So
all right,
pretty much the same time.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, John, you came to New York to study at SUNY, right?
Yep, at SUNY Purchase.
Cool. And then Pablo, what was your reason for coming here other than being an amazing city?
That I had a lot of friends that had moved here after school. I went to school in New Orleans, and after that, a lot of my friends moved up here. And I had been living in the Midwest and decided I needed to make the move.
Make the move.
See what this is all about.
Right, yeah. Now, I guess this is a little offshoot, just because I got you both here, and I like to talk to different people about this, especially kind of in our generation. Making the move here is very different than what it used to be, you know, years and years ago. Like, a lot of people, like John, for instance, come here to study, and they create a community through that, and then from there, they kind of go off into the world. Now, Pablo was on the other side of that. Can you guys talk just really quickly about your experiences kind of in, like, getting integrated into the team here?
Sure.
We'll start with John. We'll go to John first.
Yeah. I went to SUNY Purchase, which is outside of New York City, but I was really intentional and kind of I had kind of had my sights set on living in New York, and actually part of the reason I chose the program at Purchase is because it was just at that time for me it was 3 days a week, and I could commute up there via Metro North, and so I would basically go up there the 3 days a week, and then pretty much every night I just went out and heard music and went to jam sessions and kind of did the, historical kind of thing that jazz musicians do when they move here.
Right, right. Yeah.
So that's kind of for me how I got started to get in the scene.
Did you notice a big change once you graduated officially? Did it kind of open up a world to you, or did you feel like you kind of had already started making progress, kind of creating a presence?
I felt like I had already started making some progress, and establishing something, even if it wasn't much, you know, because I don't think it was at that point. But just to have a familiarity with the scene and know some people and have some people know me, and just kind of have at least a rough idea of how things work, I think was really important, because then I kind of got out of school and already knew to some extent what I was getting into, you know.
Right.
Whereas I think some of my peers who maybe stayed on campus might not have had that same experience.
Sure.
That I had, you know.
Right, exactly. Now, Pablo, could you tell us kind of, you know, how your process was getting in and you know, maybe kind of as you heard John kind of compare to that maybe?
Yeah, my process, I feel, might have taken a little bit longer than somebody who moved here for school, only because I was trying to survive and support myself. So I was working odd jobs here and there. I started working at a music store, and a lot of my time was focused on just surviving initially. So it was hard initially for me to go out and make all the jam sessions and see everyone's gigs that I would love to see and that I had moved here to see. But as time, you know, got on, I got a little bit more stable here. It afforded me the opportunity to go out more and just kind of, you know, have a presence, to use that from earlier. And yeah, it's been a real interesting learning experience, you know.
Sure.
Like you said, this is the greatest city, and learning how to live here is its own.
That's a school in itself. How long do you feel like it took you to kind of feel a little bit, you know, getting beyond the initial hump of just surviving? How long do you think that took you to kind of get to that point?
Oh, boy. That's a great question. At least a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was really bouncing around, wondering, am I going to live in New York? There was a time when I was thinking of moving to the West Coast because I didn't really like the lifestyle here. And over time, you know,
sure,
things got more settled. But I would say that first year was definitely really
up there. Yeah, I did my master's at Manhattan School of Music, and I remember Dave Liebman, who was kind of running the master's program, said you need to give it at least 5 years. Got to be on the 5-year plan to give New York a chance, just to, you know, first get integrated. Like, you know, you're saying, even if you go to school after school, got to give it a 5-year run. So, you know, you guys are kind of just over that hump now, and it seems like you're both kind of finding your place and getting the things happening. So, cool. Well, we'll come back to that a little bit, just kind of your more of your stories. But just to go back to the Cornelia Street stuff. So you guys did this on first in January. You guys shared a bill in January there, but John did it with his trio, now called Real Feels. What was the initial thing that brought you guys together for that? And then was this kind of like after that, we, you know, what was the thought process of doing it again?
Well, for me, I guess it was, you know, having known Pablo for so long, I remember kind of when we first got it together, I think we probably had both approached the guy who books Cornelia Street about doing a gig there. And if I'm not mistaken, probably you can correct me, but I think he like suggested us doing a night together. And I, my first thought was, yeah, totally. That would be great. You know, I think, I don't know. It's great to do other or shows with other people on your instrument. You know, I think we all kind of learn from each other. And so I know for me over the years, whenever I've heard Pablo or we've played together or something, you know, it's, you know, I'm always trying to like understand, okay, what's his concept? Like how's he thinking about the trumpet and how's he thinking about his music? And how is that different from mine, or how can I learn from that?
Right.
So, I mean, for me, that was definitely appealing just on that front alone, you know.
Totally. Pablo, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I remember going, I have a very vivid memory of hearing John play in a larger ensemble at the Tea Lounge, I think it was, before they closed their doors. And this was, I don't know, maybe a year ago, a little over a year ago. I can't, you can remind me, John. It was like a little big band maybe, and John just sounded so good. And I thought, man, I want to do something where we, you know, can do something together. And then the opportunity came up with the Cornelia Street guy, and I jumped on the chance.
And you have a different band than this time than you did last time too, right?
Yeah, and that is something I'm moving forward with this new sort of suite of music that I've been working on.
Right, and I want to talk about that in a tiny bit. So maybe we'll save that for a second, because I think just from conversations that we had earlier, might be something to kind of hit on just a little deeper. But you did that in January, and then did you kind of approach Cornelia saying, hey, we'd like to do it again? Or was it kind of the same thing? It was like, hey, will you guys do it again?
When I contacted the booker again, just to kind of stay in touch with him, you know, I suggested that John and I had done this in January, and it would be really great if we could have another night sometime, you know, this year, and things fell into place for that.
That's awesome. I think it was great, and that kind of where, you know, just to kind of interject with, because I think you're kind of you guys are just hitting on kind of what funk music is kind of trying to kind of like integrate even more into the community, just like really supporting collaboration and the trumpet community and also the new music community. I think what John was talking about when he said, you know, just when he's able to really compare people on his own instrument, he's able to kind of like, you know, look at different concepts and approaches and I think grow from that. And that's what one thing that, you know, we at Font Music are trying to, you know, really support and put out there. I guess really quick, so this is another slight offshoot because we're here. I guess within our community, do you feel like, what are some things that you're seeing? Are you seeing positive things? Or what would you like to see more of, I guess, within, you know, don't need to go in too deep, but, you know, that's something that I guess, as, you know, we're kind of the younger generation coming up, do you feel that's a strong thing or it should be stronger?
Do you mean with regards to trumpet players?
It could go both ways. I mean, so, you know, with trumpet or even like kind of the kind of music community, you know, you find yourself in. I guess maybe just some commentary on that is what you're noticing.
I guess something that I've noticed personally is that I just get this sense that musicians in our generation are maybe sticking together in a different kind of unique way. And I don't know if that's similar or different from past generations, but I do know how it's different in one sense, and that is, you know, that with just how much the industry has changed and how much, for example, like, you know, at this point, most people in our generation are releasing records independently. And,
right.
You know, and most of us, or not most, but I think many of us, you know, haven't gotten, especially horn players, I would have to add, that we haven't gotten, you know, many opportunities to be sidemen with elder musicians who can kind of give us our quote-unquote big break.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've kind of felt personally that even just in myself, just a sense of wanting to stick together more and wanting to really support each other and wanting to keep the community of musicians in our generation, at the very least, just keep it thriving.
Sure.
Because I think when we all look at each other, we see that everybody's doing cool stuff and unique stuff. And we all know that we're, you know, like fighting hard to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's a mutual respect for each other in that. And that's something I think is unique and kind of cool, you know.
Sure. Pablo, what are your thoughts?
Well, I was just nodding along to everything there. That's really great. I would say one thing to kind of piggyback on that would be to see people doing projects together and then watch over time. You know, I've only been here for about 5 years, but to watch over time to see how the projects change and how when certain people come together and have a chemistry together, and then you hear it as when they're on the bandstand, he's like, holy cow, you know, and then you always go back and, oh, these two people are working together again, this is great, you know, like John said,
right,
sticking together, and just like seeing that kind of come out of the sort of mutual respect of like, we need to do something together, and then it just ends up being so great. That's just what I was thinking about when you were talking.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally good. I think another aspect too, as you guys were talking about it too, you know, I think John was saying just our generation is a little bit different too. I think the big, you know, social media has played a huge difference on it. You know, we're able to track each other easier, kind of at all times, and able to get our music out too. So I think, you know, our generation that is kind of adept, you know, ready to do that and able to do that, you know, changes the game. So I think we're able to follow each other in a different way. So, cool. Jumping back to Cornelia Street, though, Pablo, you had kind of started hitting on with, you know, actually, you both are coming to this specific show with kind of different groups or different music or concepts. I was hitting on John has a new trio, Real Feels, but this is, but you're going to go with your quartet, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cool. Could you talk to us about that real quick?
Well, the particular group that I'm playing with, let me back up, I guess. I released my last album I released in April, which is a quartet record. Right before it came out, actually, I had this cool opportunity to do like a little guest residency at a high school in Minneapolis where I'm from. And so, you know, I kind of wanted to intentionally kind of put a band together that was a little bit different from the record and would involve some people who would be really good at connecting with these high school students. And so I put a band together that includes Sullivan Fortner on piano and Rick Rosato on bass and Jay Sawyer on drums. And all of them are incredible players, but really great teachers. And it was a really special couple of days, both on and off the bandstand. You know, we had some really great conversations and great times hanging together, just the four of us, and then we had a great time teaching together, and then, you know, we played one set of music kind of for this special concert that happened at the end of our little residency, and it was one of the most fun gigs I've done in a long time, and I think there was just a really special chemistry, and there is a special chemistry between all of us. And so I've been kind of looking for opportunities to get that band back together, just to do a gig or just to do something, just because I felt like Pablo was kind of alluding to, when you kind of see people evolve and see projects evolve and see who they're collaborating with evolve, and you start to realize when certain things have some special chemistry, you want to just go back to that again and again. And so that's basically, for me, was my goal in trying to put a gig together. And so
sure,
that'll be the band that I'm playing with on Wednesday.
Well, That's exciting. That's a really fantastic band, and they're all doing kind of their own unique things as, you know, individual players. And it is like you said, it's different from the band you recorded with, which are kind of all a little bit kind of older, more seasoned, you know, been around the block a little longer musicians. And these are kind of the young lions of our time, essentially, kind of, you know, especially in the New York scene. Sullivan's with Roy, you know, Roy Hargrove all across the world. But, like, you know, Rick is doing all the same thing, and, you know, and Jay is, they're all kind of on the edge of it, which is really cool. Are you guys going to be playing the music from Foreign Territory then, or is it new?
Yeah. So, I had hoped to write some new music, but as you know, the new daddy life has made that very difficult. So the desire was there, but the time was not.
Right.
So we are going to be playing music from that record, Foreign Territory.
Right. Fantastic.
But I think one of the interesting things about it, at least when we played back in April, is that this particular group of musicians, I think, I don't know how to describe it in words, but it's a much different vibe and feeling from the recording. But it's still very, like we're still really listening and kind of taking the music into some unknown places, which was kind of
foreign
my goal.
Territory.
Yeah,
foreign
exactly.
Territory.
You know.
Right.
And that was kind of my goal from the beginning, but it ended up turning out way different with this band in just kind of a unique way. And so that's it's cool because I feel like I can play with these guys, and it's going to be a much different experience for the audience than it would be with Billy Hart and Dan Tepfer and Joe Martin. You know?
Sure. Cool. Pablo, talk to us about your music that you'll be bringing on Wednesday and your band.
Sure. So I'm going to be the focus of my music this time is going to be a suite of music that I wrote earlier this year when I was teaching in Afghanistan. And I've been sort of tinkering with the sketches that I wrote during my time there. And I think the band that I put together to kind of explore this with me includes Andrew Gould, who I love playing with on saxophone, Isaac Darsh on guitar, Orr Barraquette on bass, and Christian Coleman on drums. And what can I say about that time? I mean, it was it's really influenced my whole year.
Tell us about why were you in Afghanistan? Like, what brought you there?
Sure. So there's a gentleman in Afghanistan that's a trained musicologist, and when Taliban came to power, he was forced out of the country, and when they were sort of removed or whatever it was, he was able to come back and start his dream of having a music school for the kids of Afghanistan. Wow. And that's been going for 5 years. And every February they bring in guest teachers for the month and to teach the kids sort of more of from a Western musical perspective. And so through a series of events, I went over there and spent most of February living in Kabul and living in a hotel, a giant foreign focused hotel. It was a very interesting time, and I wrote a bunch of sketches while I was living. I had a lot of downtime, not much to do there, so I wrote a bunch of sketches and sort of spent the time fleshing that out, and I'm pretty happy with the result. And this will be the first time this band has played this music publicly, so I'm a little hesitant in that sense, but I'm hoping if everything is going well, this is sort of what I'm planning for my next recording.
Cool. Well, that's exciting. That's enough to get folks out there, premiere. Do you have a title for this? Is it a suite, did you say? It's a suite of music?
Yeah, tentatively I'm calling it, just right now it's just called Kabul Suite. I mean, I need to think of a more interesting name, but...
Right. Well, Foreign Territory is already taken, so you can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't take that one.
Is the music, are we going to hear kind of, is it influenced by kind of the music you're hearing while in this Afghanistan, or was it more kind of a deep, like a kind of more introspective thing that still sounds like your other stuff, or what can we expect, I guess, out of that music?
Sure, it's a good question. I would say it's a mix of the music that I was hearing at the school from the kids. They teach the traditional Afghani instruments. One that I was hearing a lot is called the sarod, which is like an Afghani sitar. And there was also a lot of singing, because that's a big tradition of traditional music. There's a lot of traditional singing taught in the school there. And also, during my downtime in the hotel, there was a couple that was living in the room next to me that were also teaching at the school from India, and they were classical Indian musicians. So every night, they would be working on their own music for their own upcoming concerts, and so I would hear them practicing classical Indian music for hours every day. Wow. So that is also sort of influence. But then, you know, it's coming from my head, so my own... you know, my own idiosyncrasies and whatever is going to be there.
Of course. Wow, man. That sounds really exciting. Man, I would love, I think we could keep talking for another half hour very easily about a lot of this stuff, but maybe the conversation can just continue after the show on Wednesday.
Sure. I like that.
But I guess maybe let's do a closing statement for you guys, I guess. Anything you kind of want to get off your chest, here's the time. if not, then just we'll call it. But I guess on my end, thank you so much for being a part of this. We're really looking forward to checking both of you guys' music out, and thank you for talking with us. Do you want to say something right now? Now is a great chance. John, the floor is yours.
Oh boy, man, I don't know what to say. I've probably exhausted all of my words at this point. So, no, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. You know, last time was really fun doing this kind of a thing with Pablo, and so right. it'll be a great night. I'm really looking forward to it.
Pablo, you want to put any last words in?
That this has been a really fun little chat, and I hope we can continue the conversation.
Totally.
And I'd be really interested to hear in the future if you decide to do some sort of font curated interview again. You know, I'd like to. Mm-hmm. I want to see this. I'd like to see this continue. Within the trauma community that you have
right.
the opportunity to do this.
And that's what we're trying to expand on. So thanks for being kind of our test subjects for this. It was kind of essentially our first double interview and potentially podcast. Just to follow up, just to make sure I got my information right, this is going to be Wednesday, October 14th from 8 o'clock is John Raymond Quartet with Sullivan Fortner, Rick Rosato, and Jay Sawyer. And is it a $10 cover and $10 minimum?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay. Now, does that get you into both sets, or is it just per set, just to be totally clear?
I believe it's per set. Is that right, Pablo?
Yeah, that's what I've been told, that
cool.
It's $10 per set.
Cool. All right, awesome. And then Pablo's on at 9:30 with his band. Man, thank you guys so much for doing this, and look forward to
thank
seeing
you
on Wednesday. And tune in next week. We will be doing kind of a quick review, snap some shots, and try to get a little video for those of you that couldn't make it out. And is this being streamed online for those that are not in New York City?
Oh, we should look into
I think Cornelia Street usually does that for some of the stuff, but if they do, we'll try to get a link up for people outside of the city.
We will.
If you're in the city, sure. You got to be there. You got to hear it live. No excuse. Great. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. I hope you guys have a fantastic day, and
thanks
for
so much,
bringing
Benji.
Your music. No problem.
Yeah. Thanks, Benji.
All right. See you
later.